sometimes when we preach, I am much more of an application guy. I think y'all probably have figured that out about me. I'm maybe not the most studious guy in the world. So I'm much more about application and understanding than I am about information and knowledge. But today is going to be more informational than applicational, I guess you could say. So this is a little different for me. This is a little challenging for me. But it's kind of what we need to do. Now, in the next few weeks in this series, we're going to be looking at the kingdom of God. You see that up on the screen. And it's kind of, sort of, you can still tell, but we'll explain this in a minute. In the next few weeks, as we look at the kingdom of God, it's going to be much more application-oriented. Because we're going to look at a lot of parables where Jesus says the kingdom of God is, or the kingdom of God is like, and then he tells a story. And we're going to be looking at what he says about the kingdom of God. But this is what we're going to be talking about. And today, we're going to just set it up. We're going to do an introduction, make sure we know a little bit about it. And what do you notice in that little logo? By the way, Chris made this. I think it's kind of cool. If you think about what it's really indicating, what do you notice here? Tell me what you see. A skyline upside down. Did y'all see that? Yes. Did everybody catch that? It's a skyline, which would be what we call a what? City, which would be a kingdom in a sense back then. So a territory, a kingdom, a city upside down. Now, why would it be upside down? Anybody have a guess? That's part of what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. Because the kingdom that Jesus describes goes against everything the world would call a kingdom. And so it's completely upside down of what we think might be good or right. God turns it upside down and says, here's what my kingdom is all about. And so we're going to be looking at that over the next few weeks. And there will be a lot of application in the weeks to come on this upside down kingdom. What do you also notice about this picture? Anything else that you see? We see a city upside down and a crown. A crown would indicate a what? What do you have to have if you have a kingdom? Got to have a king. Every kingdom has a? Who is the king? Jesus. What is his kingdom? That's what we're going to look at. But who is the king? The king is Jesus. So what we're going to do today, we're going to look at some passages. We're going to talk about some things. We're going to try to figure this out. There's a few passages that we are going to go to. So if you've got a Bible with you, I'm going to give you time to look them up. And I'll tell you what they are. All of the passages we're going to look at today are going to be in one of the four Gospels. Gospel is a word that means good news. And the Gospels are called that because they bring us the good news about Jesus and his life, what he came to do, who he is, etc. So we're going to look at one of the four Gospels. All the verses come from these four: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're looking for them in a standard Bible and you've got one in your hand and you don't know much about it, you're going to open it to the middle and then you're going to be in the Old Testament. Somewhere, I'm in Jeremiah, that's kind of, I'm a little bit not middle. Middle would probably be Isaiah, would probably be more like the exact middle. And so then you're going to go a little bit further back toward the end. And eventually, you're going to come to what we call the New Testament, which is from the lifetime of Jesus on. And the Old Testament is everything before him that paved the way for Jesus. So the four Gospels begin the New Testament. They are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to look at some verses in all of those. And what we're going to try to do is understand a little bit about the kingdom of God. Tell me, before we begin, what do you know about the kingdom of God? Let's start with that. Do you have anything that we know about the kingdom of God? Is there any verse that comes to your mind that you have memorized? If we do scripture memory, I think it's a really great thing where we're like, ooh, I could pull out that verse and I could apply it here that mentions the kingdom of God, or anything you know about the kingdom of God before we begin? Okay, because in Matthew, it's called the kingdom of heaven. And that's really interesting that you said heaven, Brady, because I haven't even mentioned heaven yet, but he pulled out heaven. When you hear, let's change it now and just go to Matthew. If you hear the kingdom of heaven is like, what do you instantly think of? Heaven. Would you agree? Is that true for most of you? If you heard the kingdom of heaven is like, would you think it's talking about what we call, quote unquote, heaven? Yes or no? Okay, we might think that. All right. And then if we think that it deals with heaven, what would we think of heaven? Okay, perfection. Anything else about heaven? Okay, now that's going to be such an interesting thing. Golden. Because what time was it? 11:30 when I texted you last night? Chris, you awake? He loves it when I do that. Sonia loves it when I do that. That's kind of why he puts his phone on do not disturb a lot. It's because of me, I'm pretty sure. You awake? And because I wanted to talk about the kingdom of God and I want to talk about heaven at 11:30 on Saturday night. I thought that was a good time. So we had maybe a 35, 40 minute back and back. I can't actually have a phone conversation at 11:30 at night because I will wake up my whole household. Because I am, according to Seinfeld, you have soft speakers and loud speakers. I'm the loud speaker guy. And so, yes, Micah makes fun of me all the time when I'm on the phone. He's like, Dad, just use a normal voice. This is my normal voice. I am a loud person. I'm not very soft spoken. And so when I'm on the phone, now, Mom, this has happened with you before. Do you remember what you've said to me when I'm really quiet on the phone? You remember the question you ask? Say it loud. Are you okay? Because I'm not myself. If I'm quiet, like I'm talking really quietly because the kids are asleep, I sound depressed. I know that. I'm not. I'm just trying to honor my family. So we're texting on the phone at 11:30 at night, and we're talking about heaven. And I brought something up, and he's like, whoa, yeah, that makes sense. And it all deals with those streets of gold, because I don't believe the streets of gold actually talks about heaven. I believe in Revelation 21, when it talks about the streets of gold, new theory here. And if you look at all of Scripture and you let all of Scripture speak and you let that whole context speak, Revelation 21, verses 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 really describe verse 2. Revelation 21:2 is where it says the streets are made of gold, but then it says where those streets are, and it was in the New Jerusalem, and we think the New Jerusalem, well, that's got to be heaven, but when it talks about the New Jerusalem coming down, it calls it the bride of Christ, and this is crazy. Who's the bride of Christ? The church. And who's the church? And so who's actually golden and gleaming? It's the bride. That's what I think. It has nothing to do with heaven, this place, this abode. I think it has everything to do with God's bride, the church. And it describes our state. And how cool is that? Not that heaven is going to be made of gold, and we're not going to be made of gold, but that we will have the appearance as being golden. Really cool stuff. That's a side note. We're not going to go there. I just did. But I'm not going to go there deeper because that would take me a long, long, long time. And that's going to be a whole nother sermon series one day. So we think of heaven and we might think of gold. We think of perfection. I think many of us have the idea of heaven. Be honest. When you think of heaven, do you think of puffy white clouds? Be honest. Raise your hand. Yeah. And what are we all doing? We're sitting on them, right? Because we all would really like to. Like when you're on a plane and you're looking like, I just really want to bounce on that. And you're going to get to in heaven because that's kind of what we think it's like. But what do we also think about our state? What are we going to be doing? We're going to be floating around with wings, right? We're going to be like little angels floating. And we have this picture of angels and they're, I don't know what they are. I'm not going to go there. We have this view of angels that isn't very biblical because angels are some gnarly looking creatures. Gnarly looking creatures. And they are fierce and mighty and you don't mess with them. And they would not be caught dead in the outfits that we call angel outfits. Ever. Ever. Because they are manly men. And they ain't going to wear that stuff. Okay? So we have this view of angels. I think it's different. All that stuff is heaven. And that isn't necessarily what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is all about. So when we hear the kingdom of heaven, we might think heaven, but isn't about heaven per se. So let's look, and what we're going to do is we're going to unpack some scripture verses here today. Because there's a lot of interesting theories and ideas about the kingdom of God. Jesus never fully defines what he means by kingdom of God. So what should we not ever do? Spend too much time dwelling on it. Okay? However, what does Jesus do over and over and over and over and over and over again in Matthew and Mark and Luke, especially as they record it for us, and even a few verses in John? Anybody know? He talks about the kingdom of God. Gary, if he opens his mouth, you got like a 90% chance that something that comes out is going to deal with the kingdom of God. He's actually going to say the kingdom of God 90% of the time. In the verses that use or refer to the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, those are simply, they're the same thing. Matthew chooses to use kingdom of heaven instead of kingdom of God. Mark and Luke, all the same verses where they're telling the same parables and stuff, use kingdom of God. Why? Is there a distinction? No, it's the same. The reason is Matthew is kind of speaking to maybe more of a Jewish audience and respecting their beliefs, and they would not utter what name for any reason? God's name. So it wouldn't be the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Yahweh or anything like that, because they wouldn't say that, because that was to a Jew almost using it flippantly or taking God's name in vain. Like it didn't need to be said. So he calls it the kingdom of heaven. So heaven isn't God, but it's equated with who? God. It's joined together with God. So you're not saying God's name, but you're still describing the same thing. So if you're ever wondering, why does Matthew use kingdom of heaven and Mark and Luke and John use kingdom of God? There's your answer. He speaks to a more of a Jewish audience and he's respecting that belief. Got it? Understand? Okay. So with these references, there are about, and I could be off by one or two here, but what I did is I read every single verse that has the word kingdom in it. And here's where I started, okay? In the New Testament. This is just the New Testament. So we start here with Matthew. All these are in Matthew, and all those down to right here are in Matthew. So there's a full page and 3/4 of a page of verses in Matthew that mention the kingdom of God. Then right about here, we start Mark. And it goes to here, and Mark goes to right here. His is a little shorter. Then we got Luke. Luke's is bigger. Luke starts here and goes all the way down to right here. So it's about a page and a quarter. Then we have John, and then we have the rest of the references, and then they end right here. It's just like, if you put those together, it's maybe one little bitty page. So we got one little bitty page of verses outside of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4 pages of inside Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What does that maybe indicate to us? Jesus talked about this a lot. Most of the references that we have to the kingdom of God come from the mouth of Jesus. So there are about 139 references to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Okay? In all of the New Testament. In all of the New Testament. 108 of those are found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 93 of those, Jesus spoke himself. So 93 times Jesus said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Because this was something very, very important and passionate to Jesus, was what is the kingdom of God? Now, he never defined it for us. And there are all kinds of different views and ideas out there. And so what I want to do is I want to just look, and I'm not going to speak hard and fast about certain things. I'm going to let Scripture speak for itself, and then let's seek to interpret Scripture. Gary, you got a question or a comment?
Yeah, I would say that not only is it important to Jesus, but it's important to Jesus because that should be important to us.
Right. It is. It's important to Jesus because it's very important to us. But then why does Jesus mention it, and it's in the gospel 108 times, and then it's only used 31 more times in the entire rest of the New Testament? I mean, that seems like, well, if he was all about the kingdom, they should have been talking about the kingdom of God, right? Do you kind of think that? Well, I think for the apostles, they were all about living the kingdom of God. They weren't about talking about it anymore. Jesus did that. He set it up. He paved the way. Now, what are we doing? We're fulfilling the kingdom of God. We're living the kingdom of God. And so they didn't talk about it nearly as much percentage-wise, but you still find it 31 times in the rest of the New Testament. So it's still there. They were just living it out instead of calling it the kingdom of God. So let's look at this. Let's talk about it a little bit. Let's figure out what it isn't. And as we figure out what it isn't, we're going to learn a little bit about what it is. So the way that I think we're going to do that is I'm going to read a verse, and then I might ask a question about what might this tell us about the kingdom of God. And we'll see if that works, and we'll see if y'all can come up with the answers. I'm going to lead you as much as I can, and we'll see if we can get the right answers. So the very first verse that I'm going to read to you is from the Gospel of Matthew. I'm in chapter 12. So that's the very first book of the New Testament. If you're on your phone, it doesn't matter. You just type in Matthew and it'll pop up, okay? Which is nice and easy. If you have an old-fashioned printed book, like I like to hold in my hand, because there's something for me about reading the Bible from a book, the Bible, then it's the first book of the New Testament, like I said, about 65-70% of the way through. Matthew chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 28. So I'm going to read this, and then I want you to tell me something about the kingdom, all right? Here's the context. Jesus is doing all these miracles. He cast out a demon from a demon-oppressed man who is blind and mute. Jesus heals him. And all the people were amazed. Can this be the son of David? Which the Pharisees would have called blasphemy. So right now I'm in verse 24. The Pharisees heard it, and here's what they accused him of. They accused him of doing this by the power of Satan. Okay, not the power of God, but the power of Satan. And so what we're going to look at is Jesus' response in verse 25. Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, aka Satan, by whom do your sons cast them out? And he was actually kind of accusing them in a way. Therefore, they will be your judges. But now listen to these words. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Listen carefully to those words. Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So, they were accusing him of doing miracles by the power of Satan. Jesus says, if I were casting out myself, what sense does that make? That's a kingdom divided against itself. That ain't gonna happen. But if I'm doing it by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, if that's how I am casting out demons, then again, listen carefully to his words. Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So what can we learn about the kingdom of God here? Here's my question. And I see Gary already has a hand up. We're going to give someone else a chance to answer first. Okay? I don't want to always give Gary a chance. You can hold it. If no one else has it, I'm calling on you. Okay? But here's my first leading question. And then we may learn other things too. But it's this. So is the kingdom of God, according to this, the kingdom of God has come upon you, is it for later, like when we all die? Or is it right then, right now? Today. It's now. According to this verse, the kingdom of God is now. Because did Jesus, in fact, cast out demons by the power of the Spirit of God? Yes. And so what was he claiming? Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, Gary, what did you notice about the kingdom there? I bet you picked up on something else. Okay, absolutely. Holy Spirit came upon him. This is the power of God. And so the Spirit moving in the kingdom is kind of a characteristic or a criteria. But what we want to just look at here is now or later. I should have brought the candies, right? Okay, should have given one out to everybody. Will you go run to the store and get me some? No, I'm not going to really do that. But I should have done that. I didn't do that. I could have given every one of you a now and later, because I think that describes the kingdom of God. It does. We're going to talk about this for a few weeks, and we're going to look specifically at that issue in more detail in the weeks to come. But if we answered now or later, the answer would be for this particular verse, now. But we kind of thought it was for later. Because it dealt with like heaven and when we're there and we're flying around and bouncing on the clouds. Because that's what heaven is. That's kind of what we picture it. But Jesus says something completely different. Now, let's look at another verse. And this verse is going to point us in a slightly different direction. Let's go to, I've got multiple ones written down. I'm going to do Matthew chapter 7. Since we're in the book of Matthew, go back a few pages to Matthew chapter 7. Or if you are already in Matthew, just type in now 7:21, 7:21. Because that's the verse we want to look at. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus mentions kingdom multiple times. But listen now to verse 21. We already established that the kingdom is for now or later.
Now.
Okay, now let's read Matthew 7:21. Jesus is speaking, and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We're going to look at this verse in detail later on, because I think it's important. But now listen to the next words. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out demons, and do mighty works? And I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Does that sound like it's now or later? Later. And then he says, on that day, is that now or later? Definitely later. So the kingdom of God is now and it is later. Got it? Just like the candy. It's perfect. I think that's really important for us to understand. Here's where there's going to be some application. And I'll talk about that a little more in just a second. But let's look at a couple other things about the kingdom of God that I want to point out. One is when we hear the kingdom of God and we're thinking of the kingdom of heaven, we also think about a place. All right? So now if you would go to Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Let's go to verse 17. Sorry, chapter 17. And we're going to specifically be reading verse 21. Because we've already learned something about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is, it's two words, all right? The kingdom of God is, and it is also, all right. Which means some of it we are seeing and living and we are, and some of it is still to come and we have to wait for it to be completely fulfilled. And let's look at a couple verses. They're going to fill in some of that stuff too. It is now, in part, it will be later in its completion and perfect fulfillment. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. And we want to look at this other concept that the kingdom of God is a place, a location, a kingdom. When we think about kingdoms in the Old Testament, or we think about kingdoms like the Roman Empire was a kingdom. What do we think of? A territory. And it's got clear lines. Have you ever been on a road trip? Have you ever left the kingdom of Texas? It is a kingdom, right? We're no state. No, we're a kingdom. Not really, but we kind of picture it that way. It is the kingdom that we would know as Texas. Now, does the kingdom of Texas have a ruler that's kind of over Texas? Yes. What do we call that person? The governor. Okay. Now, we have other kingdoms. We have the kingdom maybe of Houston. We got the kingdom of Austin. There's a kingdom of San Antonio and the Riverwalk. The kingdom of Dallas. Just a lot of concrete. So we got other kingdoms too, and they have rulers too. What is their king called? It's Dallas Cowboys. Yep. Yep, Jerry Jones and all of those guys. No, the Dallas Cowboys. The kingdom might be called a mayor. So we've got kings over kingdoms or territories, and all those territories are mapped out. Does Houston have city limits? Does Texas have borders? Yeah, those are in the news. So we've got city limits, we've got borders. When we've been on a road trip, have you ever taken a picture when you're leaving the kingdom of Texas? And it says you're now entering the pitiful state of whatever because you're leaving the kingdom of Texas. Turn around and go back. Have you ever taken a picture with that sign? Just kidding, all you other people from other states that aren't going to watch this anyway. It's okay. We've kind of pictured kingdoms like that. And in the Old Testament, a kingdom was territory. It was land. It was geography. And so we think of a kingdom. Some people believe that God's kingdom is going to be a kingdom like that. And so some people believe that God's kingdom will be on the earth and there will be a territory, like borders. And God will be on the earth, Jesus will be here, and will rule and reign in that kingdom. And I have a different understanding of Scripture when I look at Scripture than that. That God is going to physically be here as a king over a kingdom. Okay? The word kingdom, if you want the most simple definition, write down two words if you're writing down. Rule and reign. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. It can be spoken of broadly. It can be spoken of narrowly. In its broadest sense, and Chris actually prayed this a little bit earlier, he said, God, you're over all things. He is the king over all things. We could go to Psalm 103 and many other passages, and we can see that God is over all things. It's a part of his kingdom, whether they acknowledge him or not. That's the big picture. He's even over people that don't acknowledge him as king. He's the king over the universe and everything else. Then there's the narrow version of kingdom. And the narrow version of kingdom is those who have willingly submitted to his authority as king. And those would be called the sons and daughters of God, aka the church, his children. So we got the big picture kingdom, and the smaller picture kingdom is all his followers that willingly submit to God's authority and his reign. His rule and reign. Remember when I was praying and I said, wow, it would be terrorizing if you weren't a merciful and gracious and compassionate and loving king. Would you agree? Because he's over everything. So if he weren't those things and he just wanted to wreak havoc, he has the authority, he could do it. But he's compassionate and merciful and loving. He's the kind of king you want to be in his kingdom. And he wants to invite us into his kingdom. So real quick, let's look at these other things, these other verses, and let's wrap this up. So I want to look at Luke 17:21. You already found that. I lost it because I shut my Bible. Let me get there again. Luke 17:21. All that was setting this up. The whole idea of geography and territories and a physical territory on the earth where Jesus will be here ruling and reigning, like with a crown on his head, as the king or the governor or the mayor or the president or whatever you would want to call him that we call him in this day and age. Luke chapter 17, listen carefully to these words. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them. That was verse 20, and I'm in verse 20, and then we'll get to verse 21 here. The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. Okay? So it's going to look different than what we might think, and there aren't going to necessarily be big signs and wonders even. We're going to talk about that very specifically in one of these weeks when we look at the kingdom. But then he says these words. He says, they'll say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. The kingdom of God, another translation, is among you. If any of you are looking at your version, and does it say within you? Does anyone have that version? It says, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay? It's legit. It's accurate. The kingdom of God is within us. I'm going to look and even refer to this shirt in just a moment with the last verse that we're going to look at. But I think it applies here too, because Jesus is inside of us. So the kingdom of God is inside of us, his rule and reign. But the better translation here is among or in the midst of. And so what would Jesus be indicating? Is he indicating that it's a geographical location? Yes or no? It doesn't sound like that. What's he indicating? It's based upon his rule and reign in our hearts and lives. So it's not a geography. It's more of a state of mind. and a reality than it is a geography. That's the kingdom of God. The very last one that I want to look at is the Gospel of John. So let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 18. Again, we want to let Scripture try to speak to us about the kingdom. We've already learned two words about the kingdom. It is... Okay. All right, let's try that again. The kingdom of God is... And it's also going to be... Okay, so we've learned that. It's a now and later thing. We've learned, and we learned that in two different points, because we saw Scripture that said it's now, and we saw Scripture that said it's later, and it must be both. It's partially now, and it will be completed and fulfilled later. We also learned it's not necessarily a geographical territory. This verse is going to speak to that as well, okay? But this verse also speaks to something that I think is a little bit different. Because a lot of people have this idea that, again, Jesus is going to come and it's a place and he's going to be the earthly king. So let's listen to the Gospel of John chapter 18. And I love this passage. And there's so much that we could talk about here. This is Jesus in front of Pilate. So we just went through this period of time a couple of weeks ago, when we remembered his trial, his sacrifice, his suffering, how he was beaten, how he was crucified, how he died on a cross, taking our sins upon himself. As he's a prophet, he's a priest, he's a king, he's all three. And he took our sins upon himself, in a sense, as the high priest, and paid the price completely so that we can be forgiven. Amen. 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 So that we can be forgiven. Because God's kingdom is really partially about forgiveness. We'll see that in the weeks to come too. So he's in front of Pilate, and then he was also, by the way, raised from the dead. We celebrate that, and that's why we have life. And that's awesome, and we live in the resurrection every day. But we're going to go back in time to where he's in front of Pilate. Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, I'm in verse 33 right now, if you are following along. Are you the king? Because every kingdom needs a king. Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? I love just the way he answers sometimes. And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, I'm a simple man. And when I hear this verse, you know what I believe that it's telling us? Anybody? That Jesus's kingdom, this is going to be profound, is not of this world. That's what I believe is telling me. Did you catch that? Because it's hidden there. Because, I mean, he uses big language. My kingdom is not of this world. And I believe what he's saying is, my kingdom is not of this world. You got it? Okay, because you're not like responding at all. All right, I guess that wasn't funny at all. All right, so... there's a point there, though. Yes, we could say that as a fact. What Kathy said is, another way to put it is, if you're of this world, then you're not really in the kingdom. But let's be honest. Are there times where we are of this world? Yes. And are we still, as believers in Jesus Christ, a part of his kingdom? Yeah, because his kingdom isn't of this world. I believe that means he's saying, Pilate, I'm not going to be you. I'm not going to have a crown on my head. There will be a judgment day, but I'm not going to reign on the earth and try people like that. My kingdom isn't of this world. It's not going to have a geographical territory. I don't rule that way. My kingdom is different. It is the rule and reign over people's hearts and lives, which is very different than the kingdom of a president or a governor. Would you agree? Because sometimes, do we allow the rule or reign of the president or the governor to just get thrown aside? But Jesus says, no, my followers are truly going to be following me. I am the ruler and the one that reigns over and in their lives. We may struggle with it from time to time. We may fall short from time to time. But his kingdom's going to look different than the kingdoms of this world. So Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And then he goes to describe it a little bit more. Like, so you're thinking that I'm going to set up an earthly kingdom where I'm the leader and everyone follows me. No, it's different. Because all those other kingdoms, like a United States kingdom, or back then a Roman Empire, that kind of a kingdom, all those kingdoms can still exist. They mean nothing to me. My kingdom's above all of that. It's a spiritual thing. Now, a lot of people go, no, it's earthly. He's going to rule and reign on the earth. I just see scripture differently. And this verse speaks volumes to me. I don't think that's the way Jesus is going to rule and reign. So he answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. In other words, if my kingdom were like your kingdom, I would have brought soldiers like you did. My kingdom doesn't work that way. My kingdom is taking me to the cross, basically, is what Jesus is saying here. But if my kingdom were like yours of this world, then my servants would have fought you off. You think you have a chance? No way. But that's not the way my kingdom works. If my kingdom were of this world, but it's not of this world. So what do we learn about the kingdom of God? It is not of this world. It's different. It just functions different. What exactly does that mean? It's not defined for us, but I think we can kind of figure it out. It doesn't mean he's going to have soldiers and rule and reign in that way. Because he said, if my kingdom were of the world, I would have had my servants. They would have been fighting that I might not have been delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom, just in case you didn't hear it the first time, Pilate, but my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus could have said, absolutely. He kind of does, but he also turns it around. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And then Pilate said to him, what is truth? I love what he is saying here and what Jesus was saying in Luke chapter 17, verse 21. He's saying, my kingdom works differently. It isn't a territory. It's not geographic. My kingdom is the rule and reign over hearts. I don't come with soldiers. I come with a message of truth. I come with love, I come with grace, I come with compassion, I come offering forgiveness, I come welcoming people to run to me, I'm running to your arms, I come to bring people to me, because ultimately, I am over all. I'm over all things. And it's a good thing that I'm merciful and compassionate and gracious and a generous God, or else that could be terrorizing, but it's not. It's beautiful and powerful and wonderful. It's the best thing that you could ever have or experience. I love it when he said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is here. In the other passage we looked at in Matthew, where if you're saying that I'm doing these signs by the power of Satan, no, it's by the power of Spirit. And if I'm doing it by the power of the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is here. He was saying, because the kingdom of God is me. I'm the king and I'm the kingdom. All the people who believe in me, who allow me to rule and reign in their hearts. And I don't set up territories and I don't have soldiers. It's different than that. So when we look at the kingdom, we got to see what all these scripture passages say. Let's put it all together. We're going to see what we learned. Two words. The kingdom of God is for now. And it's also going to be perfectly fulfilled
later.
Okay. And the kingdom of God is not three words. Okay, let's try it with a little bit more enthusiasm. The kingdom of God is not of this world. It's different. It's among us. Jesus was saying, I'm right here. You say that I'm a king. The kingdom of God is here. It's right here. Because I'm standing in front of you, Pilate. Yes, Alex.
So would you say kind of how the church is us, that's the same thing the kingdom is Jesus, wherever?
Yes, because wherever the church is, because it's people, it's not a place, so is the kingdom. So is the kingdom. And ultimately, the kingdom is the church. It's all those who have, in the narrow definition, willingly submitted to his rule and reign and God's authority, even though he's over all, but some people don't acknowledge that yet. And so we will graciously welcome him back because he's our king, and others will learn one day that he is the king over all, and it's not gonna fare so well, which is why we want and why he's drawing all people into his kingdom now, because there's nothing better. So here's what I just want to leave you with, okay? We've done a little background. We learned a little bit. We looked at some scripture. We've learned four things in a sense. It's now. It's also later. It's not of this world. And to me, it's not a place. It's not a place. It's more of a thing, a state of mind and a reality. So we've learned those things. And here's just what I want to kind of leave you with. And it's the whole idea that it's for now. Have you ever, and Sarah, this is something that Sarah brought up, and she thought, I think it's kind of like this, and I get it, and I think it's good, but I want to give her the credit for it because she's the one that came up with this. Have you ever heard those stories of people that inherit a house, like from their grandparents, and they were in that house like every day growing up, and they know every nook and cranny of that house, and they inherit the house from their grandparents, and then they're now living in the house, or they own the house, and they decide to renovate the house because it hasn't been renovated. And so they're ripping up the carpet, and then they find something like, what in the world is this? Underneath the carpet, in the floor of a house that I spent my whole life in. Have you ever heard any of those stories? And then they find massive fortunes, like gold coins worth millions of dollars buried in a floor where of a closet that they played in and had all their toys in growing up for their whole childhood. It was there the whole time. This incredible treasure was in the house. It was there the whole time, and they had no idea. We were looking at some of these stories, and some of them are absolutely, they're amazing. What I also love is people that have moved into a house where someone didn't ever know that that treasure was there, like the family and the people that were in the house died and they never told the family and they moved in. People have gone into attics and found like hundreds of thousands of dollars stashed away in attics. Now, Dee and Lyra thought that might be true of their house, so they ripped it apart. And we looked in every nook and cranny. We looked in every wall. I mean, we ripped everything out of the house, even through the floor. I mean, we were hanging out with like dead animals, and we never found the treasure. never found the treasure. So you got to go to a new home, and then we'll do it again. Randy and Chris, y'all have tried to do this too. Have you found your treasure yet? No. Yeah, it's not in y'all's walls either. Well, people have moved into houses and found hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars were of like old coins and gold coins. Well, some of it in France, some of it in the United States. It's been all over the place. Incredible stuff. The kingdom of God is kind of like that. See, a lot of us picture it being for later. And it's this treasure that we're going to get to enjoy one day. Well, let's rip apart the house right now and figure out that the kingdom of God is for now. God's rule and reign over this earth is for now. And it will drastically change our lives. We talked about that on Easter a little bit, the before and the after. Oh my goodness, the change that comes when Jesus enters in and truly becomes king over our lives. It's for now. We don't have to wait until he returns. We can enjoy so many of the aspects of the kingdom right here and right now. It's like that treasure, this was there the whole time, and we didn't even know it. And so we couldn't enjoy it. And then once we find it, we're going to look at a parable like that too that talks about the kingdom. It's called a treasure because it has great value. It's worth more than anything else you will ever know. And that's the kingdom. And you can have it right now, and it can change your life. Right now, whatever we're going through, whatever struggles, whatever hardships, whatever sufferings, it's the power and the reign of God, and it'll change everything. And so I just want to invite you to open up that treasure now, and don't wait for later, because it's right there, and we're going to look at that over the weeks to come, and we're going to learn a lot more about it.